Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Amen. Today, we are starting a new series, which I have entitled The Power to Forgive, or The Power of Forgiveness. The Power of Forgiveness. The Power of Forgiveness. So as I'm talking about good decisions, the reason I'm saying that is because I want to thank everyone who has been with us and continues to be with us. Amen. Many people fall by the wayside. Many people come to church with expectation, I want to have something. Very few come to say that, I want to give. I want to serve. I want to give my all to God. Hallelujah. So I want to thank each and every one of you who are doing your best in this house. Those of you who are helping us every Sunday morning to set up. Those of you who are giving, I want to thank you. Those of you who are participating in ministries and coming to the ministries, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. May my God reward you in a way that no man can reward you, in Jesus' name. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
And I also want to encourage you, let's keep doing it. Mom Rita and I have been praying and fasting over the month of November. And one of the things that I've been asking God is that, Lord, talk to me about 2021. We have to prophetically decree and declare what will happen in 2021. Hallelujah. So I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to say God took me to 2021 and showed me January, February, March. No. But we still have to prophetically enforce the will of God into the coming year. Hallelujah. So very soon I will be announcing the theme for 2021, and I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited because when I look at the spiritual clouds, I get a forecast of what is going on. So I'm excited with what God wants to do in our lives in 2021. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
And on Christmas, we will be here. Even if we are five, if you are around, you will find us here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christmas is not family time. Christmas is time to celebrate the birth of Christ.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
So honor God first, and then it's family time.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Only two people are saying amen. I'm watching you very carefully. Honor God first, then go and honor your family. So on Christmas Day, we'll have a short service. We'll start earlier than usual. We'll start around 9. And before 11, we'll be finished so that you can go and spend time with your families. Amen. If you are traveling, wherever you are, find a good church and go to church before you sit around and eat seven colors. Hallelujah. Right, put your hands together for the Lord one more time. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 5. I'm talking about the power of forgiveness. Libare se kiraba shantaraba sheketo brosokosos. E katantereba kata kaparia kapasho koroboshike. Rimpan terima karyanda rabasha karyanda ba koryanda ba karyanda ba karyanda ba. Luke chapter 5 from verse 17. I'm excited about this new series. There's some great things that I believe God wants me to share with you. Amen. So today will be just an introduction. I'm not going to go deep into it, but I just want to give you an idea of what we'll be discussing over the next couple of weeks. Amen. The Bible says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetops and led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. You see, there are people who are hungry for miracles. Many church people have lost hope and faith in God. When something happens, their faith is in a doctor. Their faith is in a parent. Their faith is in a boss. You know, one of my former colleagues, one day he said to me, our boss at that time, he said, she hurt me so much. And I said, how did she hurt you? She said, I needed money. And I said to her, please, can you pay my salary a little bit before everybody? Because this and this is happening at home and I need to rush home and certain things were happening. Do you know what the boss said? The boss said, never, no. You get your salary like everybody else. And the guy said to me, I was hurt. So many people have their hope and trust even in their bosses. But these gentlemen, they knew that the solution is in Christ. When they came to the house and it was full and they couldn't get close to him, they didn't give up. They said, no matter what, we know that if this guy can be seen by Jesus, his problems will be solved. The only way they could do it is they climbed the house. Can you imagine? They opened up the roof. And they are carrying a human body. Do you know how heavy a human body is? And they lowered down the body and positioned him right next to Jesus. Can you see the faith? Can you see the hunger? May God give you that hunger for him in the name of Jesus. Can your amen have a hunger for Jesus? Aha. Glory be to God. Put your hands together for the Lord. In 2021, may you develop a strong hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. What verse are we on? 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man had power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God and celebrate him. The power of forgiveness. Hallelujah. When I saw this scripture, I was very, very blessed, because I realized that to forgive is not easy. Hallelujah. You need a certain strength, certain courage to be able to forgive. Now, some of us, the things that people have done to us, when you think of them, it brings tears to your eyes. The things that people have said about you, Sometimes what makes it even more painful is that it is who is the one saying the things. Who is the one who is hurting you? When someone you don't know hurts you, it's not so painful. But when someone you trust, when someone you love, when someone you care for is the one that is hurting you, it becomes that 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more difficult to forgive. Are you listening to me? Amen. So for a person to undergo that pain, that stress, that suffering, and still be able to say, I forgive you, it needs strength. It needs power. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
But the Bible shows us that our God is a forgiving God. And one day, the disciples asked him, what if my brother troubles me or hurts me 7 times in a day? Should I still forgive? Jesus said, if he troubles you 70 times 7, you must still forgive. You do the maths. There's no human being who can hurt you so many times in one day. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see that our God wants us to forgive. He wants us to have a nature of forgiving. He wants us to have the character and the power that even though you have been hurt, you can still find it within yourself to say, I forgive. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Now, for a very short time today, what I want to present to you is that, come Amruti. Come Sandile, quickly. Put your hands together for them. Now, say they are brother and sister. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they hurt each other in one way or the other. What would brother and sister, how would they hurt each other? Brother and sister, how would they hurt each other? Give me some ideas. Cheating. Oh, they are brother and sisters. Huh? Stealing money. Let's say one of them stole the other's money. And this one whose money has been stolen had planned to do something with that money. Maybe extend their house. Maybe buy a car. Maybe it was a saving for the children to go to university. I listen to me. And then the other one just comes and takes that money that the one has taken years to save. I listen to me. Is it not, will it not be painful? Will it not be difficult? But what I want to present to you today, who's the one who stole? Who's the one? Let me come in between you. Are you the thief? What I want to present to you today is that this one, after this incident has happened, will be the victim, true or not true. But what I want to show you today is that between the two, the one who is supposedly the victim is the one who is in the position of power. The one who is experiencing the pain is actually the one who is in the position of power. The one who is suffering is the one who is in the position of power. Jesus. Now, for you to understand what I'm saying, God created human beings. And the first chance we got, we sinned. The first chance we got, we pained him. The first chance we got, we hurt him. To the point that it is written in the book of Genesis that God regretted that he made man. But now note that what happens to this individual is laying with God. God is the one who is in power to decide what happens to this life. Even though he is the one who is hurt, even though he is the one who is suffering, even though he is the one who is feeling pain, but his decisions that he will make from that moment onwards influences this one. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So today, I just want you to understand that when you are hurt, when you are in pain, when you are crying because of somebody else, understand that though it may be painful, you are in a position of power. And the decisions you make after the incident affect what happens to this individual. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Mama Ruthie and Brother Sandy. Am I talking to somebody? Tell a neighbor, say, I'm in a position of power. Now, today is an introduction. Over the next coming weeks, I'm going to go deeply and show you the power that you have. It's amazing. Just look at the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was paralyzed. He couldn't come to Jesus by himself. His friends had to put him through the roof. And when Jesus saw him, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Now, look at what happened to the man when he received the forgiveness. Jesus said, "Rise up and walk." Immediately, he was healed. The one who is supposedly the victim is the one who is in the position of power. Is the one who is in the position of strength. Are you listening to me, somebody? I'm excited about what's coming. So, whoever has hurt you, you are in the position of power. You thought you were the victim, but you are not the victim. You thought that you are the one who is wrong, but hey, you are the one who has the power. And whatever decision you make from then onwards influences everything. Now, for a short time, I want to show you why it is important for us to forgive. Do you understand? Because when you take the position to not forgive, spiritually is ugly. Spiritually is disgusting. Let me show you quickly. Come with me to the book of 2 Kings. Sorry, 2 Samuel. Chapter 13. From verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 13 from verse 1. Are we there? The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister." So, in the olden days, people used to have many, many wives. Are you listening to me? And this was the case with David. And so in a situation where a man has more than one wife, you'll find that, I believe in English, it's half sisters and half brothers, right? You will have siblings that come from your mother, and you'll have siblings that come from your father's other wives, your other mothers. Are you listening to me? So now Absalom had a sister that came from his same mother. And the Bible says that his sister was fair. In other words, she was beautiful. Hallelujah. Verse 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick. Sorry, let's go back to verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So what happened here is that one of David's sons fell in love with his half-sister, who was Absalom's blood sister. I don't know if my English is correct, but are you following the story? So the half-brother fell in love with the half-sister. Someone say Jesus. Verse 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. This man was so in love that he started being sick. The love was so strong that he even fell sick. When people become sick, you don't know what is making them sick. This guy, the love was so much that he began to fall sick. Verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. That word subtle is the same word that was used in Genesis chapter 3 about the snake. That the snake was very subtle. And this guy is also very subtle. And he said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed." Listen to the subtle guy. "And make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, my sister Tamar, to come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." So this guy says, make yourself as though you are sick. Then when your father comes to see what is happening, tell him that, please call my half-sister to come and take care for me as I am sick. Verse 8. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. Did I jump? Please read for me, because talking and reading is a difficult story. Give her a mic quickly. I'm trying, but every time I come back, I lose. Mm-hmm. Because David didn't suspect anything. I mean, it's your brother. Go and take care of your brother. He's sick. Hallelujah. Amen. Continue.
And dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it. And she made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. So when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come, lie with me, my sister.
He even says, my sister, come lie with me, my sister. Hey, what a shock.
What a shock.
Continue.
And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly.
Mm-hmm.
And I wither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee.
Listen to this lady's words. I think this is why this guy fell for her. Now, even though his brother is doing something that is disgusting, he still, her words have wisdom. Her words have dignity. Her words, you know, they sound nice. Don't read it again. Just listen to how they feel.
And I, whither shall cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit, he will not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and laid with her.
Mercy. The lady is even saying, let's go speak to our father. He will say it's okay. But the Bible says the guy grabbed her and began to rape her. Mercy. Continue.
Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone.
Mercy. And so the Bible says, right after the guy had his way, immediately he started hating her. And the Bible says he hated her so much that the hatred was greater than the love that was making him sick. He just despised her after he had his way with her. Are there people like this in this earth? Someone said disgusting.
Disgusting.
Continue.
And he said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he will not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her.
Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Can you please give me a little bit more volume and give me a little bit more tweet? Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a sad story that we have just read, true or not true. You can imagine how this lady felt after what has happened to her. Her life would never be the same again. She was hurt. And what made it worse is that after this guy has had her way with her, he threw her out of the house like she was nothing. She even said, what you are doing now is worse than the rape. Are you listening to me, somebody? This is very painful. This, for any human being, would be hard to bear. Hallelujah. But when you read the story, for time we will not read the rest. Absalom, the sister of Tamar, found out what happened. The brother, I mean. He found out what happened. And when he found out, the guy became bitter. And the Bible says he did not speak to Amnon for 2 years. The anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness was just multiplying in him. Then the Bible says Absalom went to his father and he said, I want to make a party. Please come to my party. And David said, no, I won't go. So then Absalom said, okay, let all my siblings come to this party. To cut the long story short, they came. When they were on their way, Absalom told his servants, he said, when Amnon is sitting down, you must kill him immediately. So what happened is that when Amnon came to the party, the servants grabbed him and killed him. Now, if that was not enough, the Bible says that Absalom ran away because he was afraid of his father. And then some years later, Absalom came back. And Absalom began to conspire against his father and began to plan to take the kingdom from David. And he conspired and took the king and made himself king. And David, his father, ran away. Are you still with me? When David was running away, because David also had concubines, he had wives and concubines, he told his concubines and said, stay in the palace and take care of the palace while I'm gone. And Absalom came, took over Israel, and took his father's concubines, went on the roof and started raping them on the roof in the presence of everybody. Someone said, disgusting. Now, what I want you to see in this story is that when you don't forgive, that bitterness, that anger, that hatred, that unforgiveness, it makes you ugly spiritually. It changes you. It makes you a horrible person. Now, the person who was actually raped, we don't hear anything about her anymore. Perhaps she forgave. Perhaps she just decided to keep to herself. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the one who was not raped allowed the anger to build up so much that he became a murderer. The anger and the hatred continued to grow so much that he started fighting his father and would even want to kill his own father. That he took the kingdom from his father by force. And that over and above that, he would want to sleep with his father's concubines. Not even in private, on the roof for everyone to see. When you choose not to forgive, you become ugly. When you hear that something has happened to someone, you say, you see, it's a sign that the unforgiveness, the bitterness is in you and you won't let it go. You are wishing and dreaming that something bad will happen to whoever hurt you and even to their family and friends. Yeah, you are releasing curses like nobody's business, like someone has opened a tap of water. You have become something totally different from what God is. And the Bible says we are being changed from glory to glory to be like Jesus. But you are being changed from unglory to unglory, if there's such a word. To be like Satan, who is unbeaten till today. sorry, who is bitter till today. So when you harbor the unforgiveness, when you harbor the hatred, you end up being even worse than the person who hurt you. That whatever people have done to you, the way you have become and the things that you wish to do are multiplied compared to what has been done for you. I'm not saying that what they have done is correct, but two wrongs don't make a right. Tell a neighbor, say, two wrongs don't make a right. So as a child of God, you must learn to forgive. You must learn to do what? To forgive. I know it's not easy. And in the next coming weeks, I'm going to unpack forgiveness. Because, Pastor, how do you forgive someone who has hurt me so much? I want you to understand what God expects from you. When I say forgive, I don't mean now you have to be best buddies with the person. But I'll explain to you in the coming weeks that at least in your heart, you must forgive. In your heart, you must let the pain go. In your heart, you must move on. Because the more you are harboring that pain, it's changing you. It's making you filthy. It's making you ugly. It's completely transforming you from being someone who loves God to being someone who is totally the opposite of God. As a Christian, you must learn to walk in forgiveness. You must learn it. The bitterness and the pain can be so much that it can literally remove you away from God. Some years ago, there was a lady in my church. A certain lady used to attend this church. And this lady used to have a lot of troubles. So one day, I decided to go visit her. And I remember that before I went to her home, the Lord spoke to me about her. And the Lord showed me something that was very painful. I saw this lady walking in life, and I saw her that she had reached a place where she could not move forward anymore, and the only way she could continue moving forward was by the help of God. Now, as I'm watching this, I see God's hand coming from heaven, and God says to her, come, let me help you. And this person has been harboring pain, bitterness, unforgiveness for so long that she doesn't even trust the help of God. And I saw God saying, come, let me help you so that you can continue moving, so that you can go to the next level of life. And I saw her that she didn't trust even God. She had completely lost trust from anybody, even her own family members. That's what happens when you don't forgive. Another lady told me that something bad had happened to her, and she was still holding on to the unforgiveness. And she said to me, one day she was sitting in her room, and Jesus appeared. When Jesus appeared, Jesus wanted to come and embrace her, and she said no. And she sent Jesus away from her room. The unforgiveness can even turn you against God. It can turn you against even your God. So I want to encourage everybody in this church that no matter what has happened to you, no matter how bad, no matter how painful, if for anything, at least because of the word of God, decide
to be a forgiving person.
Decide to let go of the pain. Decide, even though you've gone through suffering, decide to say, you know what? It's okay. What's done is done. I can't change the past. I'm moving on with my life. I'm moving forward. I won't harbor that pain anymore. Some people, that pain have become their friends. Are listening to me? Some of us have been hurt in relationships so much that even when somebody else comes, a nice brother, a nice sister, who is in love with you, you keep comparing him or her to that one who has pained you. And you keep making this one suffer because you are harboring the pain. And you are always guarding yourself just in case he hurts me. Just in case she hurts me. That's why many people don't marry. I said, but why don't you marry? Ah, Pastor, what if she cheats on me? Oh, who said she will cheat on you? Who said he will cheat on you? But because of the experiences of the past, you are holding those things as your friend. They're the things that guide you. It's no longer the Holy Spirit. You are being guided by pain. You are being guided by bitterness. You are being guided by anger. You are not being guided by the Holy Spirit. You are not being guided by the Word of God. Because some of you, when it's time to discuss certain things, you say, no, let's put the Bible here. Wait, let's wait with the Bible. Me and you. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? So, unforgiveness made Absalom very, very disgusting and ugly. There are many Christians who are very disgusting and ugly. No, when they smile, you can't see anything. When they talk, you can't see anything. But in their own private place, you know, when you go to the doctor, they put that thing in their ears and put it in your heart. And your heart goes goo goo goo. Some of them, their heart is going sis. Hey, ask your neighbor, is that your heart? Absalom conspired against his father. Absalom wanted to kill his father. Absalom wanted to take from his father. That time, the person who has done wrong is Amnon. And that time, he's not the one who was hurt. It was the sister who was hurt. But this guy chose to be angry. Chose to be bitter. And held on to the bitterness and nested for 2 years. 2 years was bitter. Kambulaya. For 2 years, he was planning. He was angry. When he would see Amnon walking around in town, he said, Born. For 2 years, if Amnon got a job, it would kill Absalom. He'll feel like dying. This thing has got a job. This thing. For 2 years. Until he said to himself, no. I can't keep breathing while he's still breathing. I must take his life. Because he was nursing the bitterness. He was nursing the unforgiveness. He was feeding it every day. Every single day, feeding it. And some of us here are like that. You feed your pains. You feed them. You feed them every day. I'm sorry to say this. Before I say it, I'm already apologizing. Can you please forgive me before I say it? The women are the one who suffer from this sin more than anybody else. A woman can have a grudge for 10 years, nursing that bitterness for 10 years. And after 10 years, you say, remember that day in 1995. We were standing by the robots. You were wearing pink shoes. I remember. It was 10 o'clock. I remember. It's a sign that this person has been keeping the thing. It won't go away. Even when she becomes happy, she said, hey, I can't be too happy before I forgive somebody. Turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, 10. Are you there? The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So you can see that Absalom had taken the nature and character of this thief. And this thief is Satan. He had now become a murderer. He had now become a destroyer. Many criminals tend towards the criminal life because of the pains they suffered when they were young. And because they will not forgive and let go, they end up becoming murderers and destroyers and thieves. Are listening to me?
Yeah.
There are people I hear who were infected with HIV by a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And because of that bitterness, they go on a rampage and start sleeping with as many people as they can to infect them because of that bitterness and hatred. Now they have become destroyers. They infect people with HIV on purpose. Can you see how ugly unforgiveness is? That's why God says, when you come to me, even if you have a gift in your hand and you remember that you have something against your brother, before you leave that gift, go back to your brother or your sister and make amends. And when you have healed, then you can come back and present whatever it is that you want to present to God. Are you listening to me, somebody? The Bible says, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen and you hate your brother? So even God wants you to have a forgiving heart. He wants you to fix any problems that you may have. He wants you to be free of that anger, free of that bitterness. Let go of it. Release it so that God can begin to transform you, that when he looks at you, he sees himself. That you, your life, your heart, your thoughts, your emotions become the mirror of God's heart, become the mirror of God's emotions. That the way you would behave is the way that God would behave if he was in your shoes. That's why some people have made that wristband that says, what would Jesus do? Because the idea is that, what if Jesus was in your shoes? Would he be angry? Would he harbor unforgiveness? Would he nurse the bitterness? But the Bible has already shown us what he did. He forgave us. But not only forgave us, he himself left all his glory his honor. He took the form of a man, of a servant, came and walked amongst us, and died for you and me, so that we may be forgiven. This is your God. This is the person who has led you here today. This is the person whom you worship. This is the person who created you. This is the person that you want to be with for all eternity. We must learn to be like him. He forgave. We must also forgive. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody today? Tell a neighbor, say, the power of forgiveness. So for today, I just wanted to tell you two things. That when you have been hurt, you may think that you are the victim, but you are actually in a position of power. In the next coming weeks, I'm going to show you in detail what I mean that you are in a position of power. And I also want you to be aware that if you choose to not forgive, that unforgiveness in you will begin to turn you and make you something that is the total opposite of what God wants you to be. Your heart will become bitter. In God's sight, you'll become very ugly. A disturbing thing. A disgusting thing. So if we really love God, we must learn to forgive. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus and let's rise to our feet and give God the glory. Amen. Are you excited about what's coming in the next weeks? I tell you, if God allows, next week I'll be teaching you about forgiving God. Somebody say, forgiving God. Some of us sitting here, we must learn to forgive God.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you are blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you. It is finished.